If you will tonight, turn with me in these holy scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, our text tonight will be found in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11:3. It reads this way. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, I thank Thee truly, Lord, for Thy faithfulness. I thank You, Lord, that as we sang that hymn, that once again You wrote that in my heart and in my mind, that You are the faithful One. Faithful to bring forth, Lord, what You would have Thy sheep and Thy lambs to hear this night. Faithful, Lord, to make all the paths straight that lead to Thee. Faithful, Lord, to show us and to bring us to Thy feet to be instructed. Lord, Thou knowest these people. You know these people that are sitting in front of me tonight. You know their hearts. You know their concerns. You know their trials. You know, Lord, all things. May You be a present help in Thy word tonight. May You be a present help in their soul. May You speak to every one of us in this room tonight the gloriousness of the gospel that is in Thy Son. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul writes in our text tonight, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The focal point tonight will be that last phrase, the simplicity that's in Christ. I think, what does it mean to have a simpleness in Christ? Because if we err in what that means, we're going to err, as we're going to hear later, in how the world looks at things. And the simplicity that's in Christ, the message of the gospel of Christ, it was spoken by Christ. And it was simple in that it was plain and easy to be understood. When I take this place in front of you tonight and I take this pulpit, my purpose is to preach the gospel that's in Jesus Christ. But I have to preach it in its simplicity. I have to preach it with simple words because that's what the Lord used. How else can a wayfaring man, though a fool, err not therein? The Lord makes the word plain to His people. The simplicity in Christ is the ability and the power of Christ to come to your soul and to speak Himself to your soul. And I do believe we're all in need of that tonight. I think many times I've sat under sermons. I recall one right off the top of my mind. I remember sitting in a sermon, sitting in where you're sitting, and listening to the preacher use terms like supralapsarianism. It's a term that speaks about the end of time. Infralapsarianism. We spent the whole hour finding out what those words mean. But there's nothing in these scriptures that speak of those words. Sometimes in our own logic, in our own understanding, in our own desire to know more, we miss the simplicity that's in Christ. I wrote down some things that Jesus said, and I want you to listen to these things. Repent, for for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Simple words. Simple and to the point. Ye must be born again. Simple with a statement to the point. I and the Father are one. You will not come to me that you might have life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When Paul says this, that his fear is that those that are sitting and hearing false shepherds and they're hearing the voice of the wicked one and they're hearing it, they're being removed from the simplicity that's in Christ. Even when Jesus spoke parables, they were stories easy to understand. The very stories that he used, the terminology that he used, the gospel being spoken was spoken in simple terms. That's what you should, and I hope, hear from me. Simple terms. Jesus said these words. And you say, well, you're really harping on this, because here's the thing. I have to ask you, as you sit in those seats tonight, is the gospel simple to you? I want you to think about that question. Because the religious world goes out of their way to tell us that the gospel is simple. And I put forth the first question to you. If the gospel is so simple, why is it hid from so many? Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But Jesus spoke in simple terms. Why can't they just believe it? Why can't they take the words that are the simplicity in Christ and accept them? Because Paul said, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Absolute blindness. But does that change that Christ spoke these words simply to his sheep? No. But is this gospel simple to us? Preaching the gospel should always be simple, easy to be understood, but the revelation of that gospel, the revelation of the gospel is all of him. That's the point. The Lord must reveal the gospel. James said it like this in James 1:18. Listen to these words carefully. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Of his own will he begat. He born us. He gave us new life by his word. That simplicity of Christ is what he reveals to his children. Now, we make life very complicated. We do. That's our fallen nature. And that's what I want to address tonight. Because, see, here's the thing. I asked you a question tonight. Is the gospel simple to you? I guarantee you, somewhere in your life, someone has said that to you. Well, the gospel's simple. It's simple to understand. It's simple. It's a simple religious message. We hear that all the time by these preachers on TV. It's a simple message. I've got a simple message for man. But is it simple? Because the oversimplification of the gospel and man telling men and preaching from the pulpit that the gospel is simple has led to four horrible errors. And I'm going to enumerate all four of them to you. But I don't want you to sit there and examine the four errors and say, well, that's them. That's that. That's the world sitting under religion. Because this is what our fallen nature can easily latch on to. So the first error I want to talk to you about tonight is that when the gospel is preached that it's a simple gospel, natural man becomes authorities on the scriptures. That's what they're told. If they memorize Psalm 23 or they know John 3:16, man becomes an authority on the scriptures. And the pulpits of America and the pulpits you've probably sat under and things that you've heard about the simplicity of the gospel has led man to believe that they have the authority and the understanding to understand the gospel, to receive the gospel, and to apply the gospel to themselves. That's one of the biggest errors. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He said, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The gospel preached in its simplicity in Christ is heard by all men who it's preached to. But as the preacher knows, he cannot quicken that to your understanding. It's the Spirit that gives life. I hope you know that by now. But as you come in contact with the world, and you come in contact with people in the workplace, and you come in contact with quote-unquote religious man has been taught that it's such a simple gospel that his education, a reading of a scripture, has made him authority on the scriptures. He's got his own opinions, he's got his own understanding, and he's not afraid to tell you about it. You know what I'm talking about. Be very careful. So that's the first egregious error that this preaching in America and all over the world leads to. The preaching that the gospel is so simple. And that's why I asked you, is it simple to you? The second one is, and yeah, I know you understand this one. The simple understanding of the gospel makes God everybody's buddy. He's everybody's friend. He's the man upstairs. You know, he's my co-pilot. You've heard those things. You've seen them on bumper stickers. That's the wickedness that's all around us. That's the wickedness in high places. That's why, as a beacon, as a minister of Christ, I have to stand before you and warn you that the religion that you hear in this world, try it against the scriptures and try the spirits, whether they be of the Lord. Is he your co-pilot? Does he take the reins at times and then give it over to you to live your life, and then you give it back to him, and then you give it back to him? Is he the man upstairs? I remember when I was a child, I was taught in vacation Bible school that when it thundered, that was God moving furniture around. And man tries his best to make God down, bring him down to his level. First place we'll go tonight, turn with me over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Of course, that's after Psalms, after Proverbs, after Song of... No, it's before Song of Solomon. After Proverbs, before Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes 5. Now listen to these words. The inspired word of God. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And be more ready to hear. What did we just say? The religion of this world today gives every man a witness and an answer in himself. You're an authority on the scriptures now. Be the shepherd in your home. Be the one that leads your home. This is not the way. This is not the way that's in Christ Jesus. Listen to what he said. be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. What is the sacrifice of fools? You're going to hear it in a minute. It's opening your mouth. We have to be taught and readied to shut our mouths. Because we always are ready to give an answer. We say, oh, the Bible tells us, be ready to give an answer. But it's the Lord that restrains us who says, sit and wait. Wait upon my direction. Wait upon my words. These are powerful words. He says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. They believe they're doing it for God. They believe what they're teaching, what they're hearing, what they're passing along in their families, in the workplace, is of God. I hear it every day. I have so many people that want to tell me every day who God is. It's amazing, too, because I may hear that four or five times and he's somebody different to everybody. Be careful. Be not rash. Look at verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Sit. Wait on the Lord. When we're brought to those crossroads, listen, this life is full. That's what carrying our cross is. It's full of hardships. It's full of quote-unquote decisions in this realm of life that we think we have to make. They're coming up in our life. They're right in front of us. And the Lord already knows the way that pleases Him. But how many times do we stop to ask Him, Lord, what pleases You? Does this bring You glory? Do we stop or do we act? And I'm speaking to myself because I'm an actor. I'm one that keeps acting. I need to be stopped in my tracks. To where I'm prostrate before Him, where He enables me to say, yes, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening, Lord. Reveal Thyself. We just sang that. Great is Thy faithfulness. We all sang it. It was melodious. We're filling the place with this song. And I'm thinking, I hope we all believe it. But we don't live it as much. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in the heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. That's powerful stuff. Reverence. But man is always trying to bring him down to our understanding. That's why you hear those terms. That's why you hear those things. Dear ones, be quick to be quiet and ask the Lord. The simplicity in Christ. We just read our text tonight. He's so fearful that His people that He has preached the gospel to are going to be beguiled by the wicked one, are going to be beguiled by their own fallen nature, going to be beguiled by the world to leave the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. And that simplicity that Christ speaks to His people is, I've died for your sins. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have put your sins away. The third error that this has led to is the plan of religion that every man seems to have. It gives man a false refuge. He believes that, yeah, you've heard this. I've been saved for 25 years. I've been a deacon in the church for 30 years. Oh, I've been preaching the gospel for 50 years. I've been this in the church. I've been that. That's what a simple gospel, to be told that the gospel is simple, simple enough for man to chew on it, to ruminate on it, and then to be able to disperse it. What do we need a preacher for? Well, the Lord said he's ordained the foolishness of preaching to save man. Man comes along and says, well, we don't need that. We're all preachers ourselves. We're all this in our homes. We're all this in the workplace. Dear ones, be careful of that pride. Be careful of that knowledge that puffs up. No matter how much you think you know, we know very, very little. You'll see that in a few minutes. The faith of the religious man, he puts in church going and membership and ordinances. Well, I took the Lord's Supper. I was baptized. I came down the aisle and I made a profession. These are the things you've heard, because in the pulpits they're being told, do you believe he lived? Do you believe that Jesus, this person in the Bible, once existed? Do you believe that he can save you from your sins? Then accept him and come on down and be baptized. Come on down and make a profession. Dear ones, it's more than that. I want it to be more than that for everyone in here. I want you to desire the gospel, but that you can never, ever get to the bottom of it. Because the Lord will always keep you needy. Needy. In every situation that comes into your life, every trial that the Lord brings, he designs it to make you needy of him. And if you miss that, you're going to be so buried in the trial that you're never going to see him. He's designed every one of these trials for the souls of his children, to grow us in the grace and knowledge of him. We're taught in his school, in the school of Christ. In 1 Peter 2:4, Peter writes, to whom coming? That whom is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, to whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Coming. We are constantly coming to Christ in our lives. We're constantly being brought to Christ. Peter knew it. That's what he said. We're coming to him all. That's that neediness. That's what he teaches us. We need him every hour. And as he brings, I will draw all men unto me. And he keeps drawing. Because isn't that what life is? It's a trial after another trial. What kind of God would give you a gift and then allow you to navigate through it and draw on your own strength and say, you're left to yourself? Do you do that with your own children? Do you do that with your spouse? Do you do that with anyone that you love? I loved you yesterday. That love should sustain you the rest of your life. Go and be fruitful and prosper. No, the Lord is life. He's life every day. He draws us to himself every day. And he reveals more and more. And what he teaches us is that we don't know anything without him. And that leads me to the last error. It's because when the dumbing down of the gospel is just telling man that it's simple, he sees no beauty in Christ. There's no need to see any beauty in Christ. You're right there next to him. You don't have a need of him. You don't see any mystery. You don't see any in his person or his work. You see nothing. You see yourself. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's one that the Lord proved to him that he was all in all. I claim to know nothing else but him. You know why? Because there's a constant desire in his soul that's burning. That's Christ's presence. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you need Christ. That's what I desire for myself. I desire it for everyone in here. When that trial comes, that burning desire, the Holy Spirit says, you need Him. Now here He is in the Word. And He draws you to the Word and He reveals to you Christ. Jesus said these words in John 12:41. He's speaking of Isaiah. He said, these things said Isaiah when he saw His glory, speaking of Jesus, and spoke of Him. He saw the glory of Christ and he spoke of Him. You see how that simultaneously took place? When you see the glory, you speak of Him. You don't speak of Him without seeing His glory and seeing His worth and seeing what He is to His church. He's everything. That's what I desire. Not any of this false, easy believism. Not any of this ideas of religion. You know, Paul lived in religion for a lot of his adult life before the Lord delivered him. Everything he did, railing on Christians, putting them in jail, consenting unto Stephen's death, was all for religion. And the Lord had to put that to death in him and show him what, and make him dependent upon Christ. Struck him with blindness. Made him dependent upon the Lord for everything that he would have. That's what the Lord does for us. We need to be weaned from this world. We need to be weaned from the idols that we set up. So I ask you again tonight, is the gospel simple? But there is no subject greater. There's nothing greater than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to listen to some of these verses that I wrote down and how Paul explains what the gospel is. What the life of Christ is. Now listen to these. You've heard them before. Ephesians 3:8. Paul said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the what? Unsearchable riches of Christ. He's a preacher to the Gentiles, and what his subject is unsearchable. Paul said, I can preach the rest of my life and I can't get to the end of the unsearchableness of Christ's riches for His people and His church. I can speak it every day of my life and I'm not going to exhaust what Christ is to His church. Dear ones, I want you to take that to the trial you're going through now. I want you to take that to the hardship you have in your life now. And I want you to understand that what you see with your eyes is not faith. What you see and what you behold and what you figured out and what your logic tells you is not what Christ is revealing. I pray that He reveals Himself in the trial that you're in. What pleases Him, why He's doing what He's doing. Because we have a promise. All of His promises are yea and amen. And His promise is that He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never give us more than we can handle. He's always going to make a way to escape. That way to escape is Himself. That's the faithfulness of our Lord. In Job 11:7, the questions are asked, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Can you? Can you by searching and reading and all of these things, all these theological books, can you find out God? Is that how it is that we spend time in a seminary and or we sit at the feet of people and we learn at the feet of Gamaliel and they teach us about God? And that the Lord said they must all be taught of me. All of us are taught of Him. He's the divine teacher. In Romans 11:33, Paul writes, oh, the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Does that sound like a simple gospel? That what he was preaching, Christ crucified, is so simple that he can't even get to the end of it. He can't even start to begin to exhaust the riches that we have in Christ Jesus and what he's done. And then, of course, in 2 Corinthians 9:15, we have, thanks be unto God for his what? His unspeakable gift. Isn't that odd to you? That the preacher of the word who preached Christ crucified said he's unspeakable. Well, wait a minute, Paul. We got pages filled here with things you said about him. And they're beautiful and they're glorious. And you know what he said? They're unspeakable. That's the depth of the gospel. That's how he feeds us. Don't ever believe the wicked one when he tells you you've arrived. Paul even said that. Not that I've attained. That's right. We're ever growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. I got two places I want to go with you tonight, and then we'll get everything tied up. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. Same point I'm making here. What Paul said, that's the question. Is this gospel simple? I hope you understand the difference between the simplicity that's in Christ, how he, with power, reveals the gospel to us. But that don't make the gospel simple. That's what religion teaches today. That's what you're going to get out in the marketplace. Oh, I just believe. I just go. And then what you see is not a life that's lived after Christ. You see man just, as I said, they just go on and, well, I'm religious. I got what I, he's my buddy. He's going to take care of me. Where's the need? Where's your neediness? Where's your longing for him, your desire? Look at 2 Corinthians 12. Did I say 12? I did. And yet I'm not there. Okay, look at the first five verses. Listen to this. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul is speaking about himself. And he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. He's talking about himself in a revelation. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. Now, we're starting to think that Paul, something's wrong with him because he can't tell whether he was in the body or the Lord had raptured him out of his body, or he can't tell. Isn't that weird? What did I just read? He's the unspeakable gift. Now, listen to what he says. God knoweth. Such a one I was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He's speaking of himself. How that he was caught up into paradise. The Lord took his mind and his heart and he set him in that place where he only saw Jesus. He saw none of his trials. He saw nothing. He's caught up into heaven. He's seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does he describe it? I heard unspeakable words. Doesn't seem to be too graphic of a description to us. Because he can't speak them. They're too glorious to him. Paul's got a sin nature like you and I. What he saw in the Lord, he can't speak it. It's too glorious. Do you see the Lord that way? Do you see that? And this, the reason I chose the text tonight, the simplicity in Christ, is because I want to drive that point home that he speaks in simple terms for us. This isn't something that's unattainable because we need a degree in physics or we need a degree in astronomy or whatever it is. All of that's dumb. You know what we need? Christ and the Holy Spirit to reveal it. That's it. And he speaks simply to his people. But it's not a simple gospel. It's anything but to the child of God. And he desires to know more about it every day. Dear ones, I go back to your trials again that you're in right now. May the Lord give you a desire to know him in that trial. You know, sometimes they're designed that way, aren't they? We don't see Him in the trial. He delivers us from the trial. The trial's over. He's spoken. His will is done. Then He reveals what He had in it. But there are times that while we're going, that's why the Lord tells us, cry out to Him. I cried, David said, I cried out to the Lord who has performed all things for me. All things. That's our refuge. It's not ourselves. And if the religion that you hear or you're under or whatever is teaching you that, you're deceived. He's the reason. He's the answer. Last place we'll go, turn with me over to Isaiah 55. Now look at verse 6. Now Isaiah starts this part with it. He says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Simple instruction, right? Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. When can the Lord be found? Well, He told us He'd never leave us. So He's always there. Our problem is we won't seek Him unless we're drawn. Unless we're emptied of self. Unless we're shown how wicked ourselves are, and then we cry out to Him. You want to know why we have trials? Why we have afflictions? Why we have chastening? Because we wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. That's what we are. But He's faithful. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. The Lord is plenteous with mercy. Always full of mercy. We sang that tonight. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And not only are the mercies new every day that we're told in Lamentation, but He reveals them. That's the good. That's every day we need Him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He never runs out of pardon. You know why? Because we constantly sin. And He's constantly bringing us to the cross to show us what He's done. And that He's put Him away. And that the only way out is to trust Him. And it's not when we're brought to see that we go, oh, that's my only way out. I got it. No. It's an exhaustive search. And like the Lord, like the deer that pants at the water brook. You've been running from those hunters all your life. You're running from that trial. You're running from the wicked one. You're running from yourself. You're running from everything that man says to you. You're running from everything the wicked one's saying to you. And then the Lord brings you to Him. That brook of refreshing. And you're refreshed. That's His promise. I wouldn't preach it if I didn't know it. And He's proved it to me. But look at verse 8. Once again, is this a simple gospel? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Dear ones, if the Lord would write that upon our hearts tonight, when we walk out of this door, we're not going to question Him in the trial. Lord, Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And Your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's what the Lord speaks to us. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. This is it. Listen to this, dear ones. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. He's faithful to speak His word in season. And we're so prone to not trust that. And I don't know how else to say it, dear ones. I'm trying to paint you a picture that the scriptures say of how much we need Him. And I hope the Lord ministers that to you. And He makes you look inside yourself and you see nothing that will approve yourself to Him. Nothing that will make you come to Him that you will have life. But you see and you cast all your cares and all your needs upon Him. For He careth for you. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. When we have a scripture that says all the promises in Christ are yea and amen, that means they're ratified in heaven, they will come about, and it is a done deal. We are not to question it, even though we do, because He's faithful to Himself. You know why? Because He can swear by no other. He's the gold standard, if you will. He's not swearing by man. He's not swearing by His preachers. It's all of Him. And He's going to bring you to Him. To rely on Him. And He's going to teach us that His ways are not our ways. Oh, just to have that. Because we all do that. We look at the situation we're in. We gather data. We gather, this one said this, and we gather in our minds and we say, okay, this is the way it is. And the Lord brings this scripture to us? That just upsets the whole apple cart, doesn't it? It just upsets everything that you think you know. But Lord, Your ways are higher than my ways? Yeah, they are. And that's a glorious place to be brought to. Because that makes us cast all of our trust on Him. Lord, you see the big picture. Help me to see it. Open my eyes. Remember the servant that was so, I think his name was Gehazi, that was so upset and, you know, and was sitting there saying, oh, look, we're going to die. Look at all this army around. And I think it was Elijah said, hey, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he saw the army of God all around. And he's like, okay, you know, there's my peace. That's what I pray for. That the Lord reveals His army that He's fighting for us. And you know, His army's of one. It's Himself. And none can stay His hand. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. He makes all things new. And all He has to do is reveal the simplicity that's in Christ to our soul. And it'll be just like you never heard it before. And then you'll desire to hear it again. And that's the faithfulness of our Lord. Let's go back to our text one more time. Says, I fear. Let's just back up, read one down. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you. You know, it's the people that Paul preached to. This is the second letter that he's wrote. They're the people that the Lord has used him to reveal the gospel to. He says, I'm jealous over you. Your souls. I care about your soul. I care about you. With godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I preached to you Christ. I desire that you cling to Christ. I desire that you desire Christ above all others. But I fear. I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's why I shared with you those errors tonight, because they creep right in. They creep right in when you were in those conversations. They creep right into that old nature of ours. The old nature comes up with those things too. Oh, be careful. Ask the Lord to reveal himself, because he is faithful. And he is faithful to himself.